This is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
CES 2012 coverage is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 25% off their fourth generation hosting by using promo code CES2. Find more GoDaddy deals at tpn.tv.
Okay, we are having some fun here at the Tech Podcast Network covering CES 2012. Also want to welcome our next guest, Alan Messier, Senior Director at the Advanced Technology Lab and President of the Universal
Plug and Play Forum,
UPNP. And welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Now, what are you guys doing here at CES amongst this forum? Is this an industry association?
Yes. UPNP Forum is an industry organization. We've been around since 99. We have over 1,000 members now, all of the big guys, IT, CE guys, chipset, service providers. We basically define the standards for home devices to communicate with each other.
Yes. And Courtney, I'm not sure that you've fully appreciated the world of figuring out what slot, what IRQ settings. When you added a board, say some years ago, it might take, it would either work in 20 minutes or 3 days.
Right.
And universal plug and play is really kind of the solution to that particular problem.
Actually, that was plug and play, plug and play. Universal plug and play is different.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah.
Okay, help me understand the difference.
Universal plug and play assumes IP networking and tries to get the devices inside your home, TVs, tablets, refrigerators, smart meters, whatever.
I was thinking at the device
and work
level.
And get those guys to work all together. So, for example, DLNA, you may have heard of,
Digital
Living Network Alliance, is based on UPNP's AV specifications. Mm. Skype and a bunch of applications like that, Xbox, PlayStation, they open ports on your router so that you can do multiplayer gaming, get great video, etc., using UPNP technologies to access the internet and open ports up. Uh-huh. And so UPNP has all these members for the last 12 years now, making this specification so that your devices can work well together and leverage that Wi-Fi or Ethernet network that you already have, that you know you were using for your laptop perhaps to get on the internet, but you now need AV flowing around, you want to be able to control your home automation devices, maybe some e-health devices, which is an area we're trying to get into.
Absolutely.
Get your TV to talk to the smart grid meter, get all those things to work together, and the home network is basically the premise of the UPNP Forum. Mm-hmm. And we have all these members, now 1,000 members working together. And then a lot of other organizations reference our specs. So Cable Labs reference our specifications for their work, HDI, Home Gateway Initiative, Broadband Forum, all these other organizations leverage UPNP for that last home step between the TV, the tablet, and the refrigerator, and all these other good devices.
So are there still devices that are being sold that are not UPNP compliant?
There's only one, I would say, standout, and that is Apple, of course, who love to do their own thing.
Yes.
But, you know, that's just the way they are. Uh-huh. But these days, all the big manufacturers have been shipping for years. So almost every router that you buy, Linksys or D-Link, it doesn't matter, whoever it is, has UPNP inside. Almost all the home AV stuff. So anything from DLNA, for example, is based on UPNP AV specifications. And we have even more specs that are being generated to members right now for things like smart grid and e-health, these other kind of areas.
Right.
So if you take something like this, right, these are just some phones, right? There's nothing too special about them. But if you were to analyze how many times UPNP is used in one of these, probably 4 or 5 times without even thinking about it. So each one probably has some AV sharing, like Samsung's All Share, for example, would be on the Galaxy S. So that's one type of UPNP. Probably, again, uses UPNP to open ports for Skype inside both of these devices, be they Apple or Android. Wi-Fi protected setup, you know, where you can press the button and you press it on the router.
Right,
and
you don't have to configure it manually.
Based on UPNP, so that's also in here. On the Samsung device, or the Android device, actually, controlling your TV. So using the phone as the remote control of the TV, Samsung uses UPNP in doing that. Also, we have an app on our TVs where it goes from the television to the phone, where you can see what's on the TV on your phone. They have duplicated second screen.
Yeah.
also uses UPnP. So without even thinking about it, you know, any one of these mobile devices has probably four or five usages without you even downloading any new apps, just the stuff you're using today.
It's surprising that that there are still companies, obviously Apple kind of being a separate case. It's surprising that any company would put out a product that wasn't UPnP.
It is surprising. It is surprising. Maybe in their infinite wisdom, Apple will cotton on to that. But you know, we would love them to join. We'd love them to join.
So what's been the biggest challenge? I mean, you're trying to herd, you know, over 1,000 companies in the right direction, and that's standards are always kind of a political process.
Yep.
What's been the biggest challenge there?
Well, one of the nice things, I guess, for UPnP is where ARANZ, so Zero Royalty Organization, we've got lots of members. So we have all the people who are players in the organization. Of course, the classic challenge is getting them to agree on things. You know, everybody wants to do it the proprietary way first, and then, you know, they work on standards, etc. So going through that process takes time. Sometimes it may take us a year or two to come up with a standard. And then, of course, it takes a year or two to get into product. But ultimately, the consumer and the customer wins because you can then actually agree on something and actually, you know, will work rather than being just a, you know, one size fits all for one manufacturer.
Sure. Well, Dr. Messer, thanks for filling us in and explaining some things.
No problem.
And,
thank you for inviting me.
Where can people go for more information?
UPnP is www.upnp.org. We have a bunch of white papers and presentations and all that kind of stuff there, links to other organizations. So that's probably the best place to look. Obviously, all the big manufacturers here at CES, the Samsung stand, for example, et cetera, there are many, many such places.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a good show.
Great. Thank all you. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I learned so much today.
And really what that solves, the first thing that I was thinking about was all of the pain that occurred at the PC level. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this is the next layer above that,
yeah.
And so forth. And the DLNA standards, I think, also having the same impact in the entertainment world. Need to talk with you about GoDaddy. And, of course, GoDaddy has a new product called 4GH Hosting, which combines the power of cloud computing at web hosting prices. And what does that mean? That means that you're able to guard against distributed denial of service attacks. And most importantly, if you're successful, you know, one of the problems in podcasting or new media is that what happens if you're successful and your server can't handle it? And that's what this new GoDaddy product takes care of, mm-hmm. because it scales dynamically, dynamic traffic management, and a cluster of servers, not just a single server. Courtney, how many downloads did Tech Podcast have last year?
35 million.
You're fast. You can count them up just like that.
Very quickly, yes.
Yes. Well, there is a great value in GoDaddy Hosting, 4GH Hosting. Plans from $4.99 a month up to $9.99 a month. Just go to GoDaddy.com, check out the 4GH Hosting details, and use CES2. And why would you do that?
Because you're going to save 25%.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
this is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.